Sunday we talked to you about feeding the 4,000. We spoke about this miracle of how Jesus fed the 4,000. He did this could have been a few weeks maybe, or a month or two. Then he fed 5,000 people before that with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then he comes and feeds the 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few fish. And we talked about this 4,000 and how God's math is amazing, right? How he can take the little bit that you have, and that's the problem that we have. See, he takes it. We need to give him that little bit that we have. Oh, but we have little. But give him what he asks for. Then he divides it up and he gives it away. And so you think you're not getting it back. But then in that, he meets so many needs and then turns around and takes care of you at the same time, and you end up with more left over than what you gave in the first place. It's amazing how God does this over and over again. We talked about spiritual hunger and how the crowd was just hungry for Jesus. And we talked about how Jesus cares for the needs of people. He knew those needs. So that's what we talked about last Sunday. But I want to continue on with the story that's in the Word of God, because as you continue on with the narrative of what's happening in that passage in Mark, you read some important truths that I think Jesus is trying to teach us. And he was trying to teach his disciples, because what actually happened is they crossed the Sea of Galilee. They did that a lot in Jesus' time. They were always getting on a boat and crossing one way or another. It was faster than walking around, so they'd hop on a boat and they'd go. And so when they went across, he stopped at a village, and the Pharisees there confronted him and contended with him and wanted to show us a sign, prove to us. And Jesus was disappointed about that. He got into a boat and with his disciples, and he started going to another space across the boat. The disciples forgot a loaf, only brought one loaf of bread. They forgot bread. They were worried about that. Jesus wasn't really worried about that at all. And he started to talk to them about beware of the Pharisees and their false teachings. He put it in metaphor, which the people of Jewish people did all the time in that day, especially the rabbis. He said, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. And of course, the disciples were all worried about bread, and they went right to the fact, oh man, he wants food and we didn't bring bread. So they totally missed it. And I think this is the premise of what I'm saying here. The story is this, that the disciples did not understand Jesus because they did not take the past works that Jesus did and apply it to their present situation. And Jesus actually tells them that in the story. They did not take the truth that Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves. He fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves. So he can feed a few disciples with 1 loaf. Why are we worried about bread? And there's a message in there for us, and I want to go through this story and talk to us, because how often do we miss God's present works and his present teachings because we have, like the disciples, failed to take our past lessons and experiences with us on today's journey? And we miss out. And so, like the disciples, we've worried about provision last year, we worried about provision 6 months ago, and we're worrying about provision today again, when he's provided for us, instead of being at peace and hearing what God is trying to teach us. Let's hear the story in the Word, Mark chapter 8. There were about 4,000 men in the crowd that day, and Jesus sent them home after they had eaten. Immediately after this, he got into a boat with his disciples and crossed over to the region of Dalmanutha, something like that anyway. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had arrived, they came and started to argue with him. Testing him, they demanded that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. When he heard this, he sighed deeply in his spirit. I don't know, that leaps out at me just a little bit. I mean, the Pharisees are contending with him, prove it, right? And he just sighs. Why do these people keep demanding a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, I will not give this generation any such sign. So he got back into the boat and left them, and he crossed to the other side of the lake. But the disciples had forgotten to bring any food, and they had only 1 loaf of bread with them in the boat. As they were crossing the lake, Jesus warned them, "Watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod." At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying. So he said, why are you arguing about having no bread? Don't you know or understand even yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? You have eyes, can't you see? You have ears, can't you hear? Don't you remember anything at all? When I fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up afterward? 12, they said. And when I fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves, how many large baskets leftovers did you pick up? 7, they said. Don't you understand yet? He asked them. And in Matthew, it would continue on, and then it says that the disciples, then they realized, oh, he's not worried about bread. He's worried about the false doctrine and the false teachings of the Pharisees. It will give you in another account in the Gospels. So Jesus has this confrontation with the Pharisees in this story. And that's what's on Jesus' mind. They ask him for a miraculous sign, and Jesus has been performing miracles like no other prophet before him. I mean, think about it. I don't even get it. How do you get this? Jesus is feeding people miraculously, healing people miraculously, casting out demons, doing amazing teachings that just make so much sense and makes a difference to people. And here are a group of Pharisees in a village that are saying, I want proof that you can do these things. And Jesus is going, oh, really? I mean, what has been going on the last number of months? I mean, you ask for proof. You don't see the changes that are happening. You don't see the miracles that have been going on. You don't see the healings. You don't see the deliverances. How can there not be proof? I think, and he sighs deeply. He's grieved because of their lack of faith. Actually, their lack of desire to believe is a problem. So they ask for proof because they don't want to believe. And there's a big difference between needing proof to believe a little bit and needing your faith strengthened and something in us that says, I don't want to, so I'm trying to wiggle my way out. You guys know the difference between that, don't you? Right? Where we rationalize our way out of what we know is right because we don't want the right. And that's what these Pharisees, I think, were like. And he tells his disciples in metaphor because, you see, he gets in the boat and he starts to leave. But he left that village, but he didn't leave that conversation. Jesus had that conversation still in his heart, still in his mind, still thinking about it, still concerned that these Pharisees were influencing that village. And the Pharisees would influence the teachings there, and he was concerned because their teachings weren't good. They were false. They were leading them the wrong direction, and he was concerned about that. So in his thinking and in his meditating and in his thinking about that, he turns to the disciples in the boat, and he says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees in Herod. These people who are teaching the people of Israel that shouldn't be teaching the people of Israel because it's false doctrine. He says, beware. But then the disciples, what are they doing? They don't hear him at all. They don't get the story at all. They don't get what's going on in Jesus' heart because they forgot bread. And they also forgot that Jesus can make a lot of bread out of a little bread. Right? And I wonder if we get into that kind of situation. I wonder if we're like the disciples. I mean, we come out to church on Sunday, or we come to hear his word, or we come for times in the word of God, but we're so fussed up about what's going on in our life, what's going on in people's lives, what's going on in situations that we're so caught up in fear or worry or other things that we don't get the truth of God that he's trying to teach us in the present moment. Because we've missed out on what he's done before for us and haven't carried it forward into our life. Let me get into this a little bit more. Let's talk a little bit more about the disciples' lack of understanding, because they didn't take the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000 and how God took this little bit of bread and fed all these people with it. They didn't take that into the boat with them because they had one loaf among them. Oh, I don't know how many were there, disciples and Jesus. If there were 12 disciples in Jesus, you'd say that's a baker's dozen, 13. Maybe there's a little bit more. I don't know. But they had one loaf of bread, this little thing in the boat. But they didn't take it with them. They didn't realize, well, hey, If Jesus can take five of these and feed 5,000 people, he can take one of these and feed 13 of us. They didn't take the past experiences into their future. Are you getting this? Are we sinking in to say, how many times have I not taken what God has done for me in the past, done for my family, done for my friends, that I've seen? How have I not taken that into my situation now like I should have? But I have left it and not applied it to my present day situation. And that's what's going on. That lack of understanding cause them to miss out when Jesus says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. The disciples were thinking, yeast, yeast? Oh no, we didn't bring bread. Now we're in trouble. And that wasn't what's going on at all. Jesus didn't need to worry about bread. He makes bread like that, right? He wasn't worried about that. And so he said to them, don't you understand yet? Jesus expected them to understand. Uh-oh, we're in trouble. I mean, we can't just listen and do. We have to actually work our brains and understand. Yes, Jesus not only wants you to follow him, he wants you to understand him. He wants you to understand what he's doing and be able to apply that. Don't you yet understand? And of course, he goes through the stories of the 5,000 and the 4,000 and asks them about that to try to get them to understand. Come on, take what I've done in the past and apply it to your present situation. You're in a boat now with one loaf. You shouldn't be worried about bread. You didn't need to be worried about bread when we had 5,000 people to feed. You didn't need to worry about bread when we had 4,000 people to feed. You don't need to be worried about bread when we have 13 people to feed. You're missing the truth. And I think that happens to us. We get caught up and we don't take along the things that God has done for us in the past and apply it to our present day situation. You know, I get it. I get the disciples didn't figure out the time when Jesus fed the 5,000. It hadn't happened before. Jesus hadn't done it before. And there's the 5,000, and how in the world are we going to feed this many people with only 5 loaves and 2 fish? Makes sense. Jesus miraculously does it. But the next time when he's feeding the 4,000, just, oh, maybe, who knows, a month, 2, 3 months later, maybe even less, he's feeding 4,000 people. What do the disciples say? They don't take the one that Jesus just did not too long ago. They say in Mark 8:4, his disciples answer him, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? But Jesus did it before. He satisfied people with bread in the wilderness with just a few loaves. Even less loaves. They only had 5 the last time. This time they had 7, and they didn't get it with the feeding of the 4,000. And now here they are in the boat. And Jesus is warning them about false teaching of the Pharisees. Beware the yeast of the Pharisees. And they're still worried about provision. They're still worried we don't have enough to provide. God said, I provided for them with 5,000. I provided for them with 4,000. I'm going to provide when there's 13. Would you take the things I have done for you in the past and apply them to your present situation? I am the same God. I am Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. I loved you then. I loved you now. I care for you then. I care for you now. I didn't neglect you then or abandon you then. I'm not going to now. Would you take the things that I have taught you and you have seen and I have done in your past, and would you apply them to what's going on right now in your present day situation? That's what he's trying to tell them to do. You should know, he says to the disciples, you should know. I fed the 5,000 and I fed the 4,000. Why are you worried about 13 in a boat with just one loaf? You're missing out because you're not taking the past miracles and the past teachings and the past things that I have done in your life and applying them to your present day situation. This happens to us. I think most of us have had lessons from God. How many of you have had a lesson you would say, that's God, he taught me that? Anybody? You got a few here. Some of you know. That may not be God's fault. Just saying. I mean, he's probably teaching. But we have lessons from God. He teaches us things. And there's acts of provision that God has given you. Times where he has provided, you know it's come from him. He's done it. He's provided. Anybody here? God's provided for you. Amazing how God provides. Any of you say, oh, there's been some good acts of care in my life. God has cared for me. And I know places and times. God has cared for my life. Yeah. You know, he's come alongside and he's cared for you, right? He has done it. He has done these things. Some of you even have had miracles from God. God's produced a miracle in your life. Who hears God produce you say, yeah, I know a miracle God's done for me. Yeah, lots of hands. Oh, do you think God isn't working? He's been working. But we're like the disciples sometimes that we forget to take these things and bring them in to our present day situation. And what's going on in the boat right now, right? We forget to move them along. We fail to understand that if God was faithful then, he is faithful now. If he cared then, he cares now. If it was not a problem for him then, it isn't a problem for him now. He knows what he's doing. He is God, and he's in the boat with us. Amen? I wonder if this is why I hear Jesus say in the word so many times to people, oh, you of little faith. Because we don't take what he's done for us in these moments and then apply them to our present day situation. I don't know what you're going on in your life presently, and I'm sure that there's stuff going to show up in the future, right? And when it does, I know God's going to be there, and God's going to walk you through it in his amazing ways, in ways that you may not understand, but in ways that he does just because he loves you and cares for you. But I think it's important for us to trust him. Important for us to take what's happened in our past and apply it to our future. God wants people to understand. He wants you and I to understand his works and his ways. He wants us to understand what's going on. The scripture is very clear about this, and this is our part. This is something we have to do when we're following God. We need to apply the things that Jesus has taught us, the things in his word, the things in experiences, the different areas. We need to apply that into our life. And so here's some scriptures, because it's all over the place in the Bible. Psalm 53, verse 2, it says, God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. God's looking down. Is there anybody here that understands and can seek after God? Anybody understand enough? God looks for people to understand that we need God and need to follow him. Matthew 15:10, he called the people to him. See, the Pharisees, again, were teaching some false doctrines about clean cups and clean this and clean that, washing hands ceremonies. And Jesus says, it's the other way around. It's what's inside that defiles, right? So there's, and he says in Matthew 15:10, he's going to teach the people. And he says, he called the people to him and said, hear and understand. It's not what's outside defiles a person. Right? Paul starts praying for a Colossians church. He's never met them before, but he's writing them a letter. It's a church that started outside of Paul being there. And he says to them, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. It's something we need to work at with God's help and the Holy Spirit to understand, to apply the things that God has taught us, the lessons that he has given us, the miracles of the past, to take those and apply them into our present day life. Not just there's good things that happen. Thank you, Jesus. God did great things. And then come to today and go, well, that was then. This is now. Just because something happened then doesn't mean it's going to happen now. Sometimes we'll take that principle and apply it to the negative, right? So if a bad thing happened then, it's pretty sure going to happen now. Don't we do that to the negative stuff? But not necessarily the good stuff. Funny how we think. But God is telling us, and Jesus is telling us, come on, we need to work at understanding the works of God and understanding his faithfulness and understanding who he is in our lives. Solomon proclaimed this wisdom. as he was teaching through Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2 and 5. He said, tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. I wonder, I was reading that. Anyway, then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord and you will gain knowledge of God. Now I'll tell you what went on in my head as I was reading that. I wondered if I hit 100 pounds of silver and I said, whoever finds it gets it. It's in the church somewhere. Whoever finds it gets it. You're all out looking for 100 pounds of silver. You'll search for it, right? Because if you have 100 pounds of silver, that's a significant amount of money, isn't it? Now, I don't know if you can lift it to take it home, but follow what he's saying. Search for understanding. Search for it. Look for it. Ask for it. Desire it. You're all still thinking about the silver. But understanding is true silver. Wisdom is true precious metals, right? Precious gems. Search for that. Seek them. God searches for those who apply themselves to understanding his word, understanding his works, and understanding his ways. Not just read his word because, you know, we need to get through five scriptures or five chapters today. We need to understand what he's saying. We need to understand his word, apply it to our lives, and then have that lesson last into our present day situations. What God has taught us. God does not usually hide his works or his ways. All of God is found within his word. The word of God is strong and powerful. If you know his word, you will know him, and you will be able to put your faith and hope in him if you know his word and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. God wants us to know and understand him, and here's how what he has done to help us with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, Paul reads this, no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind can imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. Oh, so God loves you, right? And he is doing amazing things because of his love for you. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you ask him to forgive you of your sin and wrong, when you turn from them and follow Jesus, what does the Bible say Jesus does for that person? Anybody? Who do you receive in you? He gives you the Holy Spirit. Every person who accepts Jesus Christ gives you the Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit knows all the things of God. The Spirit knows the deep things of God. That's what we've just written here. So God's Spirit in you knows all the deep things of God. And he gives you his Spirit. Not that you would just have free access of every kind of knowledge that you would want based on your heart's desire. It is never a good father that gives the child whatever their heart desires. So don't think this way about God the Father. He's not a good father if he just gives you everything your heart desires. After all, the scripture does teach us that our hearts desire some pretty rotten stuff sometimes. And so the Father uses his wisdom and his understanding to reveal to you the things you need to know when you need to know it. The trick is, if you want to mature and grow, you need to take the things he teaches you as a child and apply them and keep them so that as you move on in life to bigger, better things and other things, that you take the truths and you keep applying it in your life because he taught you, right? How many of you learned the alphabet? Some of you didn't learn the alphabet. When did you learn the alphabet? When you were like 4 years old, 5 years old, you're learning the alphabet. How many of you use that today? Right? Ah, you know, you didn't forget it. And you took it and you applied it into your future, correct? We understand the need to do this. We understand that this is part of what we need to do, and we need to do it with his word too. We need to do it when he teaches us in his word. He teaches us things so that we can move on in education, that we can grow in understanding. But we have to hold on to things and apply it to our future and our present situations. If he taught me this here, it still applies here. And that's what he's trying to say to the disciples. The disciples, they didn't get that when it came to the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. And the fact that they didn't carry that understanding with them, it cost them. So let me take a moment just to share three things that it cost them. First of all, it cost them faith. How many of you like having faith in God? And faith in things. We want that. We struggle for that, don't we? And the Bible tells us it's one of our biggest struggles as human beings, faith. But it cost them faith because they didn't take what they heard and what they saw and applied it to their present situation. Because they didn't understand or apply the work when Jesus fed the 5,000, they lacked the faith to believe Jesus could feed the 4,000. Remember? Because when he said to 4,000, how can we feed people in the wilderness? Well, he did it once already. So he can do it again, right? But they didn't get that. They didn't carry it along with them. And then when they're in the boat with one loaf and 13 or so people, we don't know how many, they didn't get it then either. And Jesus got a little frustrated and says, where's your eyes? Where's your ears? How come you don't understand yet? Is your heart hard? What's going on? Shouldn't you figure this out by now? If I fed 5,000 there and I fed 4,000 here, one loaf and 13 people in a boat is no big deal. And he's saying, come on, take what I've done and apply it. Learn the alphabet. Get it in. Take it to your future. If God has provided for you 10 years ago and he provided for you 5 years ago, he's going to provide for you today and he will provide for you tomorrow. Amen? Amen? So why do we worry about provision? Interesting. It costs them faith. Because they weren't taking the past experiences and the past teachings and applying it to their present situation. It cost them peace. It cost them peace. You see, in Acts 8:16, Jesus said, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, and they responded by arguing with each other. They were thinking they needed bread, and they were worried about bread, and they started, well, I'm guessing, I don't know, but I'm guessing they were blaming each other. Weren't you supposed to go to the store and get bread? No, I thought you were going to go to the store and get bread. I wasn't supposed to go. Didn't he? They started blaming each other. They started arguing with each other because they had one loaf and not enough. That's never been how Jesus solves a problem. Where is it that Jesus solves a problem, a provision, by arguing with somebody and blaming somebody else? Anyway, it cost them peace. And I think sometimes I see churches that lose peace because they aren't applying the truths that Jesus has been given into your lives. So let's apply the truths and get that understanding into our heart. And let's move forward with what we're learning and apply it and grow so that we don't lose peace by being afraid of and worrying about and arguing over things we shouldn't be arguing over. Amen? God provides. Other than that, we just get caught up in fear and worry and things that we shouldn't. And the thing I noticed, too, is that it costs them more understanding, at least until Jesus set them straight. It costs them more understanding because, you see, Jesus had a big concern, one that was a lot bigger than a loaf of bread. He was concerned about how these Pharisees were influencing the Jewish people. He was concerned about the false teachings and the false doctrines that were out there. And it was churning in his heart. And that's what he was sharing with his disciples, saying, listen, guys, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Beware of this stuff that they plant in people and it just grows like yeast and causes all sorts of problems. Beware of this. And they don't get it. They missed the understanding of what Jesus was trying to share them in that present moment because they still hadn't applied the truths that they needed. And so understanding can help us open up to hear more from God if we take it along with us. And so it can cost us too, these things. We can end up having trouble with faith because we haven't taken the past works of God in our lives and said, wait a minute, God did this for me then, why not he take care of me now? And then not allow fear to take in and be able to take that faith. Future faith is the fruit of present understanding. And when we apply our present understanding the way we should, we have a launching pad for greater faith in what God is doing. It can cost us peace if we don't take the things along with us and understand. And so we want the peace of God in our life. When we fail to understand and apply God's word or his works in our past experiences and in the past times of studying the word, we start to worry and we start to fear and we lose peace. And sometimes we even argue with each other, which isn't a good thing most of the time, right? And it can cost us understanding. Missing the truth of God's word or works in our lives, forgetting them, not remembering them, diminishes our ability to grow further and learn what Jesus is trying to teach us today because we're still caught on not getting the thing yesterday. It's kind of like trying to understand division when you don't understand subtraction, right? I mean, it's really hard to get division if you don't understand the concept of subtraction. We can't really get multiplication. You don't start off teaching algebra, right? You do the basics first. And if we're never getting the basics, how can we move on to some of the other stuff? And I think that's what we have to understand here when we're following the Lord. We need to apply that understanding. That's what Jesus wants from us. It's great to celebrate what God is doing. Better still to understand and apply these things to our lives. When he delivers us, let's understand that if he delivers here, he can deliver here. Let's understand if he's healed in these moments, he can heal in these moments. Let's understand if he's been faithful in past years. I mean, we celebrated our 100th anniversary and talked about how God was faithful in many places. If he's faithful then, he's the same God. He's faithful now. Let's trust him. Let's work with him, right? He is faithful in our past. He's faithful in our present and our future. So I've been talking about the importance of understanding and applying this. So let me finish off, which is talking about what Jesus told his disciples to do in order to get with it so that they could understand and come up to this. So he said a few things to them to get them on board to where they needed to be. He said this, "Why are you arguing about having no bread?" Then he said, "Don't you know or understand even yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? You have eyes, can't you see? You have ears, can't you hear? And don't you remember anything at all?" Here's a few things that he laid out for them that told them what would get in the way of their understanding. He shared with them a few things that would get in the way of their understanding. So one of them is perceive. One of the words that different versions would use here is don't you perceive. Don't you perceive or understand. We know what perception is, right? Perception is the ability to take the information of your surroundings and skillfully apply it to your present. Okay, so I'll say that again. Take the information of your surroundings and skillfully apply it to your present. Let's get very basic. In a few moments, I'm going to close off the service. It won't be, you know, 5, 10 minutes from now maybe. And it's going to be time to go home. Every one of you here seem to be sitting in a pew. Great perception, hey? You know what you're going to do? When it's time to go, you're going to stand up. Why are you going to stand up? Because you perceive that you cannot leave unless you stand up. I mean, that's perception. I can't leave unless I stand up. And then you're going to be in the middle of the pew and you're going to say, hold it, I'm not going to get very far if I stay in the middle of the pew, so I perceive I need to move out to the aisle. So you're going to perceive that you need to move out to the aisle. You're taking the information of your present and you're applying it, right? That's perception. Now let's do this spiritually. Let's do this spiritually. Let's apply the things that we know about God spiritually. Hold it. God sent his son, Jesus Christ. He came into this world when he didn't need to. He lived in this world and walked among sinful people when he was holy. He allowed those people to condemn him. He allowed those people to accuse him. He allowed those people to whip him and to mock him and beat him. And he allowed those people to kill him because nobody can kill God. He allowed it. And he gave his life because he loves people. So don't you doubt the fact that Jesus loves you ever. Because nobody pays that kind of a price unless they love somebody. Take that lesson and learn it. And the next time the enemy comes to you, your own mind doubts it, you fight back. And you say, there is no way I am ever going to believe that God would do that much for me and then turn his back on it. God is not going to give his son to die on a cross and then all of a sudden say, oh, I guess I'm not going to love him anymore. I guess I'm not going to care for people anymore. That doesn't even make sense. God loves you. Let's take it and apply it. Let's apply the truths we know and perceive it into our future. And if God cares for me, he's going to walk with me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to teach me, right? He's going to do these things. So perceive, just like he's saying to the disciples, come on, disciples, perceive. Get back to the 5,000 men and the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. What happened there? How many loaves? Come on, put it together. Perceive it, right? How about the 4,000 and how many loaves were left over? Perceive it. Put it. Take your past information. Now apply it to your boat and the 1 loaf. Why in the world do you think I'm worried about bread? We need to be able to do that. He says, perceive. Come on, saints, you all, we all have so much knowledge of the word of God. It's right there for you. You can hear it. You hear it sung to you in songs. You have it written in the scriptures that you can read. You can go to church all the time. Many of you watch TV shows that are sharing the word of God all the time. Perceive it, know it, apply it to your present, right? And that will help us to understand. Then Jesus says, see and hear. Have you eyes and you cannot see? Have you ears and you cannot hear? Jesus tells his disciples to open their ears and hear what Jesus has recently said to them, and their eyes so that he can see what's being done. So watch and hear. Watch what God is doing around you. Open your eyes to what God is doing. I mean, we focus. So there's 180 people in the room, 190 people in the room today. And you and I all know that we can't focus on every person at the same time. We focus on usually certain things in our seeing, right? So in the same way, as we're hearing the word of God and as we're seeing the world around us, we focus on certain things. Now, if you want to follow the papers and the news and the stories on the internet, there's a lot of negative focus. You ever notice that? And you cannot count on this world to give you a godly or a Christ-like focus. So what I'm saying is open your eyes. What God is saying, open your eyes and open your ears. Start to focus on what God is doing around you, just not what everything else is happening around you, but look for God in things. Look for what he's doing. Open your eyes. Come on. They were there and saw 5,000 fed, and there are some of those that didn't see God when that happened, or the Pharisees wouldn't be asking for another sign. And so we need to focus and open our eyes and begin to intentionally look for God in these situations. And when God is speaking to us, we need to open our ears and say, God, what are you trying to say? Coming into church on a Sunday morning to listen. When you're opening the word, or when you're even sitting down to watch a show that you like to watch that's teaching, one of the evangelists or whatever that some like to watch on TV. I mean, say, Holy Spirit, I'm about to sit down and listen to somebody talk about the word of God. But I don't want to depend on that man. I don't want to depend on Phil Carroll to teach me your word. Holy Spirit, teach me your word. Help me hear. Open my ears. And help me hear your truth and apply it today. Right? Like, be intentional about opening your eyes and opening your ears towards God. Job 33:14, God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. It's an interesting thing to think of. How many times does God speak to us and we don't hear it? James 2, 22 through 25 says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says, otherwise you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself and walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. And I'm thinking most of you, when you got up this morning, most of you looked in the mirror. It looks like most of you looked in the mirror when you got up this morning. You know how I know? Because, you know, most of us, when we got up in the morning and we looked in the mirror, we didn't leave what we saw the way it was. Most of us didn't look and go, yep, I'm cooking. And walk away with the hair whatever and the teeth whatever and the face whatever. And we all did some work to fix things up a bit because sleeping overnight can really mess things up. How many of you made a change when you looked in the mirror? Pray for the rest of you. Right? So the word of God is like a mirror. You look into that mirror, whether you have an evangelist teach it or I teach it or whatever. It's a mirror. Come on, there should be changes. When you look into that, you should be saying, oh, that needs work. And yes, God, I hear you. Yes, Holy Spirit, there's an area of my life that needs work. I don't want to just be a hearer of the word. I don't want to just look in the mirror and go, okay, and walk off and forget all about it. I need to be a doer of the word. I need to apply it and change it in my life, right? Two more things. He tells them to remember. Don't you remember anything at all? Don't you remember? Don't you take what has happened in your past and apply it to your present? Don't you remember? Don't forget the things that God has done for you. Don't forget the goodness that he has brought to your life. Don't forget at the times of grace and mercy. Don't forget his forgiveness or you won't forgive. Don't forget his mercy or you won't show mercy. Don't forget his generosity or you won't be generous. Don't forget. Remember God's goodness and you will be good. Remember God's mercy and you will show mercy. Remember God's forgiveness for you and you will be more ready to forgive others. Remember these things. Remember him. Remember what he has done. Remember that God has provided for you in your history so that you won't be afraid of your present when you're in need. Right? Remember. He tells them, remember, because God has done things. Remember the healings. Remember the provision. Remember the answers to prayer, big and small. Remember all of these things. And the last one here is guard your heart. See, this is a problem for most of us. We guard our heart against the wrong things sometimes. See, our heart gets hard. Our hearts get hardened by sin because we practice sin. We disobey God. And we act rebelliously towards him by doing things he tells us not to do. And we don't see that as rebellion. We just think, I think sometimes people think, well, he's God. He doesn't have to, he's just God. I mean, I'm me. I can do what I want. No, no, he's God. You can't do what you want. I'm up here to tell you that God is the creator and sustainer of everything. And everything is accountable to him. He has every right to demand from his creation. He has every right. You are not your own creation. You do not sustain yourself. You do not have the ability to breathe at all on your own. God has set all of that in order, and the scripture tells us he has sustained that, and he has every right to tell us how we should live. And when we don't, we are creation rebelling against Creator. We are rebelling against the one who sustains us. And it hardens us to fight him like that. It hardens us. We rebel. We are unforgiving. And when we're unforgiving, we harden. Do you notice that? Any of you ever notice that? Do you remember a time in your life where you have just not willing to forgive? Come on. Come on. How many of you here had a time when you struggled with forgiving somebody, you didn't want to do it? Nobody wants to admit this. So much for group therapy. right? We know it's there. You fight. It's hard. How many of you got so soft and caring during that time? No. It's not what happens, is it? No, we think about that person that we don't want to forgive way too much. And then we start noticing, hey, there's a lot of people like that person who does the same kind of things. We don't like them either. Because they might do the same thing as this person did to me, and I can't forgive them, and they're just not having a chance. And we start pushing people away. And then somebody notices, hey, they're not doing well. They've got a problem. Something's going on. And they care about you, and they walk up, and they go, you know, I noticed, because they love you, they care about you. You're having a hard time, and that needs to be fixed. I really care that you don't, and what do you do to them? Get out of my life. It's none of your business. I'm not going to do that. You don't tell me what to do. You don't know how that person hurt me. That person hurt me. No way. They don't deserve that kind of thing. What are you telling me that? And we're hard on them. That heart has gotten really hard because you haven't chosen to forgive. Are you following me? The person who chooses not to forgive is worse off than the person you choose not to forgive. Did you follow that? Your heart will get so hard, and then what's going to happen? You won't hear God. You won't be able to understand his truths. You won't have peace. You're going to struggle with faith because you've allowed your heart to get hard because of something like unforgiveness, offenses, unhealed hurts. It will mess you up. And that's why Jesus tells us all the time, forgive, 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 forgive. It's not about what they did in their offense, and you don't hold them accountable anyway. It's God who holds them accountable, not you, right? So forgive them, because if you don't, it's going to mess you up, and your relationship with God's going to start to go south because you're going to harden up, and you can't hear from him, and you're going to miss the truths. So don't get hard. Guard your heart from getting hard. Keep soft. There's a lot of things in this world that can harden you pretty quick. A lot of disappointments, a lot of offenses, a lot of hurts, a lot of discouragements. It can harden you fast if you're not careful. Guard your heart from getting hard, right? Amen. So those are the things that Jesus taught us and taught the disciples. If you want to do this, if you want to be a person of good understanding and move forward, then perceive. Take the information God has given you in the past and skillfully apply it to your present. See and hear. Focus intentionally on hearing and seeing the things that God is saying and doing among you. Remember, take your past experiences and teachings and learnings from God and apply it to your present and your future. And then protect your heart from getting hard. Those things will help you move forward in understanding God and his truths. One last scripture, and then we'll stand and close in prayer. John 16:13 says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, and he has, he's come. He's come and lives in many of your hearts because you've accepted him as Savior. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. So I say, lean into the Holy Spirit. Lean into the Spirit of God. Let God's Holy Spirit who lives within you speak to you and listen to him. Learn to know his voice in your life. Train yourself to know the voice of the Spirit of God in everyday living, because he will guide you well into all truth. Stand with me and let's close together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we've had together in your word today. Lord, I pray for every person in this place. Lord, there may be some here with hard hearts. They've been protecting themselves, and in that protection and in that watching over themselves, their heart is becoming hard. It's starting to get callous and protection, but we're guarding against the wrong things. We need to guard against our heart getting hard, staying soft in your presence so that we can learn from you and follow you. So I pray, Lord Jesus, help us to hear your word. help us to be soft. Lord, some here, maybe they haven't been remembering the things that you have done for them in the past. Maybe they need to go for that trip down memory lane to just list out even on a paper or whatever. Lord, this is what you've done for me. Thank you. This is what you've done for me. Thank you. I remember this that you did for me. Thank you. Holy Spirit, bring it back to their remembrances, the things you have done, so that we can praise you and thank you for the things you have done for us in the past, and then take those and apply it to our future and our present situation. God, you didn't fail us then. You won't fail us now. And we thank you for that. Lord, I just pray that you will open people's ears and open people's eyes, that they would see the things that you are doing, that they would hear the things that you are saying to them, so that when you speak, we would recognize your voice in our lives. Thank you for this Kingston Gospel Temple, a place where we can come together as a group, as a family, really. It's so important that we, God, be a family of believers, caring for each other, loving for each other, lifting each other up, encouraging each other. Lord, I pray that as we meet together on a regular basis, that your Holy Spirit would work in us and through us to care for each other in these ways that you would call us to do it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for working among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being in God's house today. God bless you as you go.